All right. So we kind of included yesterday a discussion of Mumar and showing the Mumar in the contemporary context. But now the Gemara is going to go back to the ever-exciting topic of the Kusi. So the Gemara has on the bottom of Hamad Aleph. If you remember, that we had the opinion of Abai and Rava and the discussion of the Gemara that whether or not Kusim were Geri Arayos, did they legitimately convert, or did they only do so because of the fear of the lions, or perhaps Geri Emes, even though there were lions that were encouraging them to convert, but they did do so ultimately legitimately, and therefore the conversion was valid, even though at some point later, as we'll see, they went back to worshiping of Avodah Zarah, and we'll have to see if, decipher what is their status. But the Gemara says over here in the bottom of Hamad Aleph, I'm sorry. We're going to get back to the Kusim. We're ahead of ourselves. We're concluding our discussion of Mumar. So the Gemara says, one more detail about Mumar. Do we derive from here that the Mumar is excluded from bringing a carbon, or perhaps it's from a different pasuk? Because the pasuk says, I apologize, Me'am ha'aretz prat le'mumar. This comes to exclude the Mumar, because the pasuk says, Nefesh achas techester b'shkaga me'am ha'aretz basoisa. So it has to be from Klal Yisrael of the accepted group, and not from the Mumar. Rav Shimon Reb Yosi Amar Mishum Rav Shimon Asher Lo Sasena Bishkaga VeOshem Hashav Miyadiyasa. The only time a person brings a carbon is if he made some sort of mistake. Not that he was doing this right on purpose. So obviously, if a person doesn't have air on purpose, there's no carbon. What it means is a person generally violates this issue. This one instance happened to have been a shogeg. But he, you know, is not careful about it in general. So even though this one instance is a shogeg, he doesn't bring a carbon because he's not careful about this Indian in general. Why should he bring a carbon in this specific instance? So shav mi diyaso, maybe carbon oshkogoso, eino shav mi diyaso. If he didn't regret or that which he did, or he wasn't missing any kind of information, eino maybe carbon oshkogoso. Then he doesn't bring a carbon for shkoga. So we have two other derivations for this exclusion of mumar from bringing a carbon, not only from mikem, right, from amongst you, but not all of you, to Lahoisiyas Amumar. Now we have two other sources, Me'am Ha'aretz, only the Amaretz, or only the person who normally is careful about it, Hashav Mi'idiyaso, and he realizes, oh, I made a mistake, but this guy is not careful about it in general. How could he possibly bring a carbon? V'amina, my Be'nai, what's the difference between these two additional reasons that the Gemara has? Is it from Am Ha'aretz, or is it from Hashav Mi'idiyaso? Let's say he's not careful about eating chalev, but he normally would never drink blood. And this particular occasion, he happened to have drunk blood by accident. So can he bring a carbon for drinking the blood? So Iga Benayo Chada, I'm sorry, maybe Ve'enu Shavmi Diyoso, my Benayo, Rav Hamnuna, Muma Lecho Chav, Ve'hevi Carbon Al Adam, Iga Benayo. Can he bring a carbon for the dam? Why? Because the assumption is, according to the first reason, that it's derived from Me'am Ha'aretz Pravda Mumar, so then you cannot bring a carbon, because this person is a Mumar. If it's because, it's true, it's with regards to a different Aveira, but he is a Mumar. If it's because Hashav Mi'idiyaso, the person was missing some kind of information. He does regret that which he did. So the fact that he's a mumar about one area shouldn't necessarily affect his other area. Right? Is that the assumption? Let's see Rashi. Maybe I'm saying it backwards. My benayo, look at Rashi. Mikamaka mumar lo makavu minei bein lamar ben lamar v'afilu shogeg. So what's the difference between them? V'hevi karbon al adam. He was careful normally not to eat chalev. This, but then all of a sudden by accident he drank dam. So if he knew it was dam, he never would have drunk it. Right? He's a mumar and he can't bring a carbon. He is. Does regret that which he did because he's normally careful at least not to drink blood. And therefore we could accept his carbon. So this is a contradiction to the earlier Gemara that we derive the exclusion from Mumar from Mikem, from amongst you, but not all of you. Right. So here we have two additional sources. Hashav Mi'idiyaso, it has to be the person, was missing some kind of information, because the pasuk says Asher Lo Sasena. Normally he wouldn't do it. Bishkaga V'Hashem, but this person normally would do it, or from Am Ha'aretz. So Taisus already raises a basic issue. This is not just a dispute about where we're deriving it from. This Gemara is talking about what kind of Mumar. We're talking about a Mumar who is careful who only eats chayla but he doesn't drink dam. So, we're trying to figure out, does he bring a carbon for the dam or not? Maybe since he's not careful about chayla, he can't bring a carbon for dam either. Or maybe since he is careful about chayla, he's only not careful about chayla, but he is careful about dam, so he can bring a carbon for the dam. But this is only a mumah l'davar echad. We already got through saying earlier on Hamad Aleph, the only time a person is excluded from bringing a carbon is if he is a mumah l'kol ha'tara kula, ilu l'rov mitzvah ha'tara, or a mumah l'kol shavs for hesya, or a mumah for avodah zarah. But if he's only a mumah l'davar echad, that's who carbonos were made for, right? Not only for the occasional sinner, but even the habitual sinner, but it's only one area. The Brisa said, right? So a mumah l'davar echad can, of course, bring a carbon. How can we possibly have the havamina that a mumah l'davar echad can bring a carbon? And over here, it sounds like he's only not careful about chayla. So that's Tosis's question over here. Divrei Masum Me'ama. All right, it's in fact Tosis's tema. The Ma'ika Amar Ha Me'haka Nafka Me'hasam Nafka. We're only trying to figure out what's the source. Sounds like we don't have any problem with the original din, and this argument is not a contradiction to that original statement. Ha Adraba Ha Pliga. There's a Machlekes. Forget about the source. They're arguing about the substance. Da'afil Mumu Adavar Echad Kamar Tanakama Dei Makablan. Here we're discussing even a Mumu Adavar Echad. The Hamukmina the Pliga Ba'Echol Chaylev. The hifrish carbon al adam. He's careful. He's not careful to eat chaylev, right? He eats the forbidden fats of the animal, but he's careful not to drink dam. Question: can he bring a carbon for the dam? So how could this be? Why is the mumah l'davar echad prohibited or excluded from bringing a carbon? So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam suggests at the end of the fourth line, Mefarsh Rabbeinu Tam, the mumah l'chol chaylev, hainu mumah l'chol haTorah kula. Now our Gemara is talking about, of course, a mumah l'chol haTorah kula. The only thing he's careful about is dam. Maybe we have such Jews now. I don't know how many non-religious Jews drink dam. Huh? Probably have that. Even though you would say, who drinks dam? It's a delicacy in Europe, you know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's blood sausage. The Germans eat blood sausage. There are people eating blood. So, but let's say this guy's a mumah l'chol haTorah kula, but he doesn't drink dam. Ah, that's what our Gemara is discussing. So that's the shaila. Can he bring a carbon at least for the dam? But he said he's a mumah for eating chaylev. How is a mumah for eating chaylev a code word for a mumah l'chol haTorah kula? The answer is we find oftentimes that chaylev is your garden variety avera. Whenever we need to pick, if we're trying to give an example, so a girl is always, we call her Sprincy. Why do we always give her a name Sprincy? Because it's not a popular name nowadays, and you hope not to mention anybody who someone's going to think about, someone they know. So we say, hey, Sprincy, who knows anybody named Sprincy, right? Or we say Shmero Barrel. We haven't met a Jew yet named Shmero Barrel, right? There are Pliny Almighty, right? Even though there was someone in Rus named Pliny Almighty, but... we're just trying to give a generic avera. So generic avera that could perhaps represent a much larger problem is chaylev. That's what we do that all the time. So Tais brings a riot to that. Because parakam the menachos parakam, maybe the amar b'din should take chatas chaylev tuna nesachim. The Gemara says whenever you bring a chatas chaylev, you have to bring a wine libation as well. It doesn't mean only chatas chaylev. It means it's a representative of all chatos. V'hashakama adil tanakama kishumum l'kol tarakula. So we're talking about when he says he's a mumah l'chaylev, that means he's a mumah for everything. It's a representative. That's your garden variety, right? Shmero Barrel Mumar. So we say chaylev. So ain't maybe carbon al adam. So then that's why the first opinion of the Gemara held, he can't bring a carbon for the dam. Or if Shimon maybe carbon, shushav mi diyosu mi dam. He can bring a carbon because at least he's careful not to eat dam. He's not a mumah for this. So he can bring a carbon for this. You're right, if all he would be not careful about is chaylev, right? All he eats is beef jerky at the rest stops on the turnpike, of course he could bring a carbon. Then Tosis has another answer. But everyone agrees a mumah l'davar echad can bring a carbon, but not for that issue that he is a mumah about. Yeah, but here the guy was a mumah for chaylev, and he's drinking blood by accident. Tosis says maybe those are really the same thing. But maybe we are discussing a mumah l'davar echad, but chaylev and dam are the same item. The davka b'chaylev and dam pligu ufishahim shavin sheyesh kares. They're both kares. V'shnei va'olin legavoah, and both are burnt on top of the mizbeach. When you bring a carbon, you burn the forbidden fats and the blood al gavim mizbeach. V'nemru b'lav echad. They're mentioned in the same pasuk. Kol chaylev v'chol dam loyse chaylu. So the Tanakama held that's called a mumah loyse davar. But guys, a mumah for eating chaylev. He doesn't bring a carbon, even though this one instance he ate chaylev by accident, he doesn't bring a carbon.
That's the aver that you're not careful about. So the Tanakhama held dam was the same as chaylev. And Rav Shimon disagreed about that, and he held even though you're mumar for chaylev, you can't bring a carbon for dam. Okay, so Taisus says either, even though this is a mumar davar echad, why should he possibly be excluded from bringing a carbon? Either because this is the very aver on which he's not careful about, or that's what the Tanakhama is debating, or perhaps he's a mumar lechol tarakula. And why'd you call him a mumar lechol chaylev? Because mumar lechol chaylev is representative of a person who's not careful about most garden variety of avers. Just the example we always choose is chaylev, because how many people do we really know are not eating chaylev? So we just choose that, right? It's kind of an anonymous example. All right. So Gemara says, why do we have another source? And Gemara says, we needed both. Because the previous halacha was with regards to a carbon oilam. Adam Hiakam Mikem. Carbon Hashem. Here, we're talking about a chatos. So we needed both. That's why we have two sources. If we only would have told chatas, I would have said that's for a kapara. So maybe he should be, you know, excluded because he's a mumar. Well, you would not want to give a kapara to a mumar. But an oil is a dairainu. It's a gift to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not really the kapara, so maybe he shouldn't be excluded. If we would have said oila, mishum delav chiyuvahu, you don't have to bring an oila, it's only if you volunteer to do so. So, okay, that's a present to Hashem of a chatas to chiyuvahu, chatas, which is a real chiyuv. We don't want to accept your presence, but it's a chiyuv. We're not going to stand in your way of a chatas chiyuvahu, emu akabuminei. So, therefore, tzricha, we needed both examples, both sources. Okay, so we have a source of mumar excluded from carbon, one by chatas, one by oilam. We needed both, one because it's a present, so maybe, you know, we don't want to accept this present, or maybe since it's only a present, we should accept it. Chatas is a kapar. We don't want to give a kapar, but in the same token, it's a chiyuv. Maybe we shouldn't stand in this way, so we needed two sources for the mumar to exclude him. But just getting back, the Gemara now is going to pick apart one thing that we had earlier, which is really fascinating. Go back to the Gemara Hamad Aleph. The Gemara brought a mace thing. Gemara said, "Meizve mikem velo kulchem." But it says, "Adam kiyakar mikem." At the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, if a person from amongst you being a carbon, velo kulchem, not all of you. The muma lahotzi it's a muma mikem bachem chalakti velo beumos. Min habehema. The pasuk continues, "Adam kiyakar mikem min habehema min habakom min atzoyim min habehema." What's min habehema? Lahavi bnei adam shadavim lebehema. Even though mumar is excluded from being a carbon, who is included? Is the non-Jew? Even though he's not obligated in mitzvos, like the behema, nonetheless he can bring a carbon. So who does the behema refer to? Behema refers to, is it a compliment? Doesn't sound like it. Refers to those who are pater from mitzvos, just like the behema. So Gemara says, really, is behema always a derogatory term? Call someone a behema. You know the old joke, right? You know, the joke. It's not a nice joke. I don't like telling jokes that are nice jokes. A guy moves into an apartment. So he says, in Brooklyn, they a lot of times have two-story houses, two-family houses, one on top of the other. So oftentimes a good, you know, method of generating income, people buy, if you have ability to do so, you buy both, and then you rent out the other one. Serves as you have steady stream of income. So a guy buys a two-family house, and for years he rents out the upper floor. But he has one rule. He's an older couple. He has one rule, no children. He can't handle the banging. Can't handle it. Fine. So he rents it out to a young man comes. He says, family with him. He says, it's fine. I'm happy to rent you the apartment, but no, you can't have children. I can't handle the banging or whatever. The guy says, children, I don't have any children. It's fine. Fine. The guy moves in. All of a sudden, first night, the guy's there. It's like a circus going on upstairs. So the guy runs upstairs. He sees 12 children running around. He says to the guy, why'd you lie to me? Lama Rimi Sonny. I was honest with you. I had one condition. He says, the one condition was there shouldn't be any children. He said, I don't have any children. These are all chayas. He didn't say no pets. Not a nice joke. So getting back over here, so behema is always a derogatory term, is that true? Amarav? Where were we? V'chohecha d'chsiv behema, we're going all the way back to that statement. V'chohecha d'chsiv behema griusahi? It's always derogatory, referring to someone who's not having mitzvahs, v'chsiv? Adam u'behema toshi Hashem? Both the human beings as well as the animals will praise you in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Or you save both.
So Amar Yehuda Marav, Eilu b'nei Adam shein arumin b'das, they remove their own knowledge, umasim and atzman kebehema. They make themselves like a behema. So it sounds like it's a positive thing. How's that a positive thing? To make yourself like a behema. What does that mean? So Beis HaRei has a famous explanation last week's parsha on this Gemara. Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Pesachim, Kufya Gimel Mebeis, commenting on the pasuk in Parshas Shoftim, the Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, a person is supposed to be whole with the Ribbon Shalom. What does it mean to be whole with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Tamim. You know, we normally don't think of a Tam as a compliment either, right? Tom is the third child at the Seder, right? Who's usually sitting in the picture with, you know, his, sucking on his thumb or something. Right? Not a very intelligent individual. He's not the Chacham. Even the Rosh seems a little bit better. At least he's engaged. The Tom is like, he's one step above the Sheni of the Elisha, but he's not really, you know, no one has, he's no one's role model. So what does it mean? Tomim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. So of course the word Tom has another meaning. Tom could mean simple. But Tam could also mean whole, or Sholem, as the Pasuk says by Yaakov. Yaakov Ish Tam, Yoshev HaHolim. That's why Rabbeinu Tam's name is Tam. His name was not Tam. His name was Yaakov. Rabbeinu Yaakov. But he's called Rabbeinu Tam because his name was Yaakov. Yaakov Ish Tam, Yoshev HaHolim. This Rabbeinu Tam also was Yaakov Ish Tam, Yoshev HaHolim. He was a whole man who dwelt in tents. What does it mean? It means whole. Whole in what sense? Whole in that a person entirely follows the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's what the Gemara means, the Pasuk means, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, a person should follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu entirely. Shouldn't be that his commitment is compromised or diluted in any way. This is apparent from the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, Minayin Shein Sholim B'Kildayim. How do you know that you're not allowed to seek the advice of astronomers? And things like that. Shenemar Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. A person should be whole with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not supposed to seek out magic. Because it's Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. A person is supposed to be whole with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So there's a big machlokes in the Rambam and the Ramban. What does that mean? The Ramban claims, even though there are supernatural powers in the world at play, a person should not tap into them. He should be entirely committed to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even though Kadosh Baruch Hu created forces of, you know, other forces in the world, don't turn to them. Stick with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Look at the Ramban over here, is Gimel. Sheniach levavenu elav levadoi. We should only turn towards Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'namin shehu levadoi isekol. Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of anything, everything. V'hu el yodei amitas kol asid. He knows everything. V'menu levado nidrash hasidos. Only from Kadosh Baruch Hu should we seek the future. Meneviyav, from his prophets, or me'anshe chasidav, or from his followers. Return to Gomar Urim V'Tumim. What am I referring to? The Urim V'Tumim. V'loy Nidrosh Mehoivrei Shamayim V'lo Mizulasim. Don't go checking after the, you know, tarot card readers and all those things. Ki Hu Elokei Hu Elokim Elyon Arakol, because he's in charge of all of them. They all answer to him. B'chol Mishnah Marachos HaKochavim Mazalos. All the Kochavim and Mazalos, they all answer to Hashem. So may for Osas B'Adayim B'Kaisim Yehoah. Fine. So go to the boss. Why are you going to these emissaries? That's how the Ramban interprets it. But the Ramban really fundamentally believes, we don't have time to flesh this out entirely, that there are supernatural, magical powers in the world which can be tapped into. The whole Isser, or the mitzvah of Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, the Isser of Lo Sinachashu, is not to deal with those powers. You should trust entirely in the Ribbono Shel Olam and only deal with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Don't deal with the emissaries, go straight to the boss. The Rambam was a rationalist, much less mystical than the Rambam. So the Rambam, in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Halachat Zayin, has a fundamental machlokes with the Ramban, not about the definition of the mitzvah, but in terms of its application. The Rambam agrees, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha means a person should be complete in his commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam and not compromised at all, but not that, it's instructing us, don't turn to the other forces that exist in the world. The Rambam is telling us, the Pasuk is teaching us, there are no other forces that exist in the world. They're all hocus pocus. They're a waste of time. They're a waste of time. They don't exist. It's phony baloney. We shouldn't be involved in these kinds of heebie-jeebie stuff because it doesn't exist. When the Ramban says it does exist, the mitzvah is don't turn towards them. He's much more mystical. That's become popular in our times. The Ramban was a rationalist. The Ram says there are no such, you know, such forces in the world. Don't think that there's actually something there. and they're useful. Therefore, behold, with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the only mitzius that exists, these other forces are havle havolim. Okay, so either way, both agree, and that's the Rambam's position on magic. We don't have time to get into it now. It's really his position about miracles in general. The Ramban's position on miracles are all rooted in this machlokas. Are there other powers that exist in the world? And just the mitzvah is teaching us, don't tour towards them. Or perhaps there are no other powers in the world. Teva is, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu functions, and there is nothing that is supernatural that exists in the world other than that which, emanates from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, Tam Tiyam Shem HaKadosh is telling us, don't waste your time with these things because they're useless. However, be that as it may, writes the Beis Halevi, working off this explanation of the Rishonim, writes the Beis Halevi in Parshas Lech Lecha, when the Pasuk describes, or teaches Noah, Avram Avinu, after you should perform the Bris Milah, his Halech Lefanai, you should walk before me, Veheyeh Samim, and you should be whole. What does it mean, or simple? What does it mean? So explains the Beis Halevi, Inyan HaTamimus Hu, Sheyaseh Rotzon HaBorei V'Yachkar Acharei Tamei HaMitzvos. Don't think about the reasons for the mitzvos, just do them. Avram Avinu did as he was told. He didn't ask questions. He didn't say, well, you told me to go to Eretz Yisrael and all of a sudden there's a famine and I have to leave. Why'd you tell me to go? He went. He did what he was told. Zeh b'chlau limud Torah shemitzvah lelomda v'leidah osah gam ha-limud hazeh sheyaseh osam ebnei shemitzuvah kein hu limud. We shall learn because you're obligated to learn. I'm sorry, when you're learning, you can understand things. When you're performing the mitzvahs, and even when you're learning, you should do it because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do. You shouldn't do it because you want to understand what Hashem said. You should do it because that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you. Together, you should do it even though you don't understand necessarily the reason. So there is a relationship between these two definitions of tam. Tam can mean simple, that's true, it's the third son at the Leil HaSeder, not necessarily our role model, but tam could also mean whole and complete, that I should be entirely committed to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the two are related in the sense that we should be committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do the mitzvahs in a simple fashion. We shouldn't require nuanced explanations, right, why we do things. I don't need to understand the yisoid, how yisoid is, and the nister behind everything before I do it. We should do it. You want to understand? It's fine. But you should do it regardless. We do it. We follow Kadosh Baruch Hu in simple fashion because Kadosh Baruch Hu told us to do it. That's the Beis Halevi links these two definitions of what the word tam is all about. And he says, that's the pshat in our Gemara. In our Kosev Omer, Adam ubehema taishia Hashem. Both the human beings and the animals praise you, the Ribbono Shel Olam ve'isa v'medrash afal pi she'adam anachnu, even though we're human beings, we have intellectual capabilities, nimshachnu acharecha kebehema. We follow you like an animal. In what sense? So the Gemara says in Chulin, Eilu b'nei adam she'em arum b'das masimon atzman kebehema. Even though we have intellectual capabilities to understand and to reason, we follow you, the Ribbono Shel Olam, like a behema, meaning we don't even think about why we're doing it, we're just doing it because you told us to do it. That doesn't always mean you should be a follower, right? When it comes to other things, when it comes to the mitzvahs of the Torah, you should, when I know something is without a doubt the Ratzon Hashem, then I should just do it without even necessarily requiring explanation why I'm doing it. And he compares it to a Gemara, a Mishnah Masechtas Kiddushin. The Mishnah says, if I call an animal and the animal comes, so then I'm Kona the animal. Korei lo v'hiba, Kona the animal. If you call an Eved and he comes, you're not Kona the Eved. Why? Because the Gemara says, even though the Eved came, he came out died to Denavshe. He came because he decided to come. He listened to you. People tell us all the time things. Sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. And if we listen, we do so because I agreed with what I was told. Right? You asked me to do you a favor. No? I'm going to do it because I decided to do it for you, not because I follow blindly what you asked for. You asked me to do something. I thought about it. I decided it's a good idea, so I did it. That's why the Eved comes. I called the Eved. The Eved says, you know what? It's probably good for me to go. And he goes, I died to the Nafshi of it. So you're not coming to the Eved. He didn't come because you called him. He came because he thought about it. He reasoned it's a good idea and he followed your instructions. The animal comes out of a reflex. It's just what it does. So if you call the animal and it comes, Kari Lavi Bo, you were coming to the animal. That's like pulling the animal. It's the same as Mashiach. Because I called it and it came. That's like I pulled the animal. So to says the Beis Halevi, when we are called by the Ribbono Shel Olam to do a mitzvah, we should follow it like a behema. In what sense? That we shouldn't think, well, is this good for me? Is it not good for me? We'll make a whole cheshbon about it.
No, we should follow it like a behemoth. Not like an Eved who does, even like an Eved, right? Who does what he's told, but because he realized it's good for him. He thought about it. He decided. Made a whole cheshbon. We should follow like a behemoth. The animal is told to do something by the Rebbe Shalom, and it does it. So that's how our commitment to the mitzvahs as well should be. Tavim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Simple and complete, both in the same sense. How so? How are they related? We should follow Kadosh Baruch Hu simply without requiring explanations and not do it because we made a cheshbon to do it. To do it because Kadosh Baruch Hu told us to do it. That's Hesalecha Fanai. But yes, I mean, that's what Agamar means also. Adam Behema Toshia Hashem. We know there's a famous Chassidish explanation. Similar. In what sense are we similar to a Behema? Why? Because the Gemara says in Mesechtes Brachis, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Nosin Chachma, El Mi Sheyesh B'Chachma. The paradox of learning. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives wisdom to those who have wisdom. The pasuk says, "You have chachma lechakamim, lechakimim." The problem is, of course, how do you get that original wisdom, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu only gives wisdom. It's Gemara and Brachos. I think that anybody know the Gemara and that Bava. I think Kadosh Baruch Hu only gives wisdom to those who have wisdom. So, how do you get the original wisdom? That's the problem. So, the Rav Shitzer explains. I'll tell you, Rav Shitzer explains in a Sefer Zera Kodesh that chachma is a combination of two words, koyach. Ma. The ability to ask what? What is the basis for all, the acquisition of wisdom? Is the ability to ask a question, right? Not to be the She'enu Yodei Elisha who doesn't care, who's indifferent. You have to want to know. So it's the quest for knowledge, the koyach of ma, that leads a person to have chachma in the first place. So what's the original chachma is the koyach to ask ma. Yeah? Makes sense. But then he says, no, even more than that. Because what really encourages a person to ask Ma is a person understands there are things he doesn't know. There's knowledge out there that he has not acquired. He's not omniscient, he doesn't know everything. So he has to first recognize his own limitations. And then he asks, I want to understand what else is out there. So the Rav Shitzer continues, that is, a person has to be able to have the koyach of Ma, not only to ask what, but as Moshe Rabbeinu says in Parashas B'Shalach, Ma Anachnu Kisalinu Alav, who are we? Because we rely on you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'Nachnu Ma Kisalinu Alav, who are we? Because we rely on you, the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we have to have the ability to ask Ma, not only recognizing the things we don't know, but to understand with humility, V'Nachnu Ma, who are we? Because we rely on you, the Ribbono Shel Olam, that there's much more out there that we don't know. And that's what Machshava is to be Choshev Ma, to think, what else is out there? This is all the Rav Shitzer. Choshev Machshava is to be Choshev Ma, what else is out there? And what else is out there is the Ribbono Shel Olam. A person has to understand that there's more out there besides him. That's what he continues. The Mishnah says, brilliant. The Mishnah says in Maseches Avos that there are three things a person should always consider. Ve'en chei bo yodo. What should he think about? Da, ma lemala mimcha. Who is above you? Meaning ma, right? Ma Hashem Elokeinu, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, "Hashem Adonenu Ma Adir Shimcha B'chol Haaretz." He understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how great you are over all of creation. That there's something out there that's above him, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Ma Adir Shimcha B'chol Haaretz. Ma Enosh Kisis Karenu. We also have to understand our own humility. So Ma really has two connotations. It represents how great you are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nachnu Ma Kisalinu Alav. We rely on you, but also greatness of Hashem, but also my own humility. Ma Enosh Kisis Karenu. So that's what the whole acquisition of wisdom is all about, is a person recognizing there are things out there that he doesn't know, his own humility, but also he recognizes the greatness of Hashem, that there is so much wisdom out there. That's why the Spinker Rebbe adds, this is brilliant, he says, Klal Yisrael was velo yachlu lehis mamea. They weren't able to wait around in Mitzrayim. So he says, no, they weren't able to see the greatness of Hashem. They weren't able to see the humility of themselves. They weren't able to see Ma Adir Shimcha B'chol Haaretz, so they couldn't stay in Mitzrayim any longer. They were getting lost. They didn't see the greatness of Hashem. They didn't recognize their own humility. Okay. So too, the Sfarim continued that that's what Behema is all about also. That Ba Ma, the animal understands the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why it follows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions blindly. The animal sees ba-ma. The animal has it. The animal knows, I'm following HaKadosh Baruch Hu no matter what he says. Even if it's off a cliff, he's following the Ribbono Shel Olam. So too, we have to learn from the behema, Adamu behema Toshi Hashem, like the Beis Halevi said, to have that understanding of not only our own humility, our own limitations, Nachnu Ma, Kisalinu Alav, but also to understand the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chachma is the ability to koyach, to ask Ma, to see your own limitations, to recognize the greatness of Hashem, and that's what we learn from the behema. All right. Fantastic Gemara over here. Okay, so we should follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the behema. So behema is not always a derogatory term. Sometimes it's a complimentary term. So let's get back to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, you're right. Sometimes, when it's compared to human beings, then behema is a compliment. Hacha behema lechudaksiv. But when it just says behema, then that is a derogatory comment. For chavhecha dasiv adam behema mal. You see, is that really true? Every time it says adam behema, it's really a positive thing. V'haksiv zarati as base Israel zera adam v'zera behema. But it says, planted the base Israel, the Zerah of Adam, the Zerah of a Behema, and there is derogatory. So the Gemara says, Hasam Chilke Kras Zerah Adam Lachud Bezerah Behema Lachud. They're really not together. It's not Adam and Behema, Toshi Hashem. They're separated by the word Zerah, since they're separated. So then it could, in fact, be a derogatory term, even though it's mentioned together with Adam. All right, now we're getting back to the Kusim. Yeah. So now the Gemara goes back to the Kusim. He said earlier, the Kusi can check as long as you check the knife before you give it to him. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Yaakov, Bar Idi, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Rav Gamliel, U Beis Dino, Nimnu Al Shkitas Kusi V'Asura. Rav Gamliel and his Beis Din prohibited us from eating the Shkit of the Kusi. Who is this Rav Gamliel? That's a big machlok as Rashi and Tosfos. That's what this whole Tosfos is about, disagreeing with Rashi. Who's the Rebbe Gamliel? Because there were two Rebbe Gamliels. There was the Rebbe Gamliel, who was the son of, who existed in the times of Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, at the end of the period of the Mishnayos. There was a Rebbe Gamliel who preceded Rebbe Meir, right, who was the head of the yeshiva in Yavne. So it's unclear which Rebbe Gamliel we're talking about. The big machlek is which Rebbe Gamliel. It makes somewhat of a difference. But Amar of Chanan, Amar of Yaakov, Aridi, Rebbe Gamliel, Beis Dino, whichever Rebbe Gamliel was, prohibited us from eating the Shkita of a Kusi. Even though Shkita of a Kusi, Meikra did is permitted, because we're following the opinion now, Geri Emesen, they really converted, even though they were forced to do so by the lions, but they really converted. So as long as you check the knife, the Shkita is good, but his Beis Din prohibited them. So Amalar Bzeira, the Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, Shemelo Shema Rebbe, Abu Shein Yisrael Amir Agaba. Maybe the only time that they prohibited it is when there's no Yisrael standing over him. Because if there's a Yisrael standing over him, that's when the Shkita of a Kusi is good. The Shkita of a Kusi, I'm not checking the knife. It's only when there's a Yisrael, that's a Mumar. It's only when there's a Yisrael standing over him to make sure he does the Shkita properly. So maybe the only time they prohibited the Shkita of a Kusi is when there's no Jew standing over him. But if there's a Jew standing over him, then the Shkita would be good. That's what we said earlier. So maybe they weren't changing anything, they were just echoing the din that we had earlier. Amalei, Dami Haimer Rabbanan Kedelo Gamri Inchi Shmaisa. He said, Reb Zera is making himself like a person who never stepped one day into the Beis Medrash. If all I was doing was echoing the halacha that we mentioned earlier, why would I make a big deal about it? Reb Gamliel, Beis Dino, prohibited us from eating the kusi unless there's a Jew standing over him. That was the halacha we had always. Even according to the opinion of Gary Emerson, it was only if there's a Jew standing over them. He's making himself like he never learned. If there's no Jew standing over him, of course the Shkita is no good. Of course it's no good. No, so they were coming to make an additional gzera against the shkita of the kusi, even if a Jew is standing over him. They made him like a non-Jew. Where even Yisrael Amin Agav, if the shkita is no good. So now the Gemara asks, Kibla Minei or Lo Kibla Minei? Did Reb Zera accept this gzera, this takana of Rem Gamliel Beis Dinoi, or did he not accept it? They made this takana. Was it accepted? Right, a takana, you can make all the takanas you want. If it doesn't get accepted by the community, it doesn't matter. So Tashma, Damar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Rav Asi, Ani Reisit Rav Yochanan Shalcha Mishkitas Kusi. I saw, who did he see? Rav Yochanan, who ate from the Shkita of a Kusi. V'af Rav Asi Yochanan Mishkitas Kusi. Rav Asi also ate from the Shkita of a Kusi. V'toi Ba, Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera asked, Lo Shmiel Lehu? Didn't you hear about the Takan of Rav Gamliel Beis Dino? Do you have a Shmiel Lehu? So V'toi Ba, Rabbi Zera. Lo Shmiel Lehu? Didn't you hear about this Takan of Rav Gamliel Beis Dino? Maybe you heard about it, but you didn't accept it. So how the Pashul Anavshe Reb Zera then inferred, Mistaber the Shmiel Huvelo Kibluah. Must be that they heard about it, but they didn't accept it. The Isaka Daita Khloshmielu, if you actually think that they heard about it, but they didn't they didn't hear about it. The Havishmielu Havim Mekam, if they would have heard about it, they would have accepted, how could it be that such a thing occurred? That they ended up eating Malchus Asuras. Meaning, what happened? They were eating from the Shechita V'Kutzi. When Gamliel Beis Dino were ready, guys, they're not to eat from them. So Reb Zeir is not sure. Did they accept it, or did they not accept it? Meaning, did they hear about it and reject it, or maybe they just never heard about it? So he says, it can't be they just never heard about it, because if it would be that they just never heard about it, but if they would have heard about the Takana Rebbe Gamliel Beis Dino, they would have accepted it, then it turns out they're eating something that they really should not have been eating, because Rebbe Gamliel was already goes there against it. And such a thing can't happen. How could it be that great tzaddikim, Kadosh Baruch Hu was machshel them to eat Macholos Asuros, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takala Dei Tzaddikim, Vafil Behemtun Shal Tzaddikim, we're going to see later on, that even the animal of Pinchas Ben Yoyer didn't eat Macholos Asuros. How could it be that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would allow these great tzaddikim themselves to eat Malchus Asuras? So Hekim Yistayim Milsa, L'meichu Yisura. How should Behem Shinsel tzaddikim and a Kadosh Baruch Hu maybe to call, Al Yodan tzaddikim Atman L'kosh Kem Yisrael? Only the tzaddikim wouldn't eat Malchus Asuras. So Taisus here has an important question. What, is this really true? Tzaddikim never do Averis? This is the art scroll philosophy, right? Of infallibility. Is that true? Tzaddikim never do averus. Tema, the Ashkachan Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboy, Shaharik Eid Zayimim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboy illegitimately killed an Eid Zayimim. He thought he was an Eid Zayimim, and he wasn't. Perakamad Makas, Rabbi Shmuel Shekar Vehita. Rabbi Shmuel was once reading by a candle. You're not supposed to read by a candle because while you're reading, you might tilt the candle in order to read better. And what happened? Rabbi Shmuel did it. He was reading by a candle. He got so caught up in what he was reading that he tilted the candle. That's where the Gemara is justifying. The Gemara says, is this really such a legitimate concern? And the Gemara says, yes, it is, because it once happened to Rabbi Shmuel. So don't you see that there were great tzaddikim, and nonetheless, they performed an avera. How could it be a Kadosh Baruch Hu would allow this to occur? We said over here, it can't be that they didn't, that they didn't hear about the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino, because if they would have heard about it, they would have accepted it, because then they were doing something that they really shouldn't have been doing. What great tzaddikim never do averus? For Amari, the dafka b'midi da'afila ena Kadosh Baruch Hu mevi takol al yodan shegnaihu et tzaddik sha'echol davar yisr. It's only when it comes to Malchus Asuros, Hashem offers this extra level of protection. The Apple Care plan, right? But not when it comes to other isurim. Only Malchus Asuras. Ramban, later on, is not happy about this answer, Taisvis. Look at the Ramban over here, Ois Hei. It says Ramban, Rabbeinu Tamayo Oymer, She'ein Oymer, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mevi Takoy Al Yodan, El Bedova Achilo, She'gnai Adova. There's some additional measure of embarrassment in even Malchus Asuras. Avo B'Yisurim Lo. Now when it comes to other Yisurim. Ve'ein B'Tama Zeh Lo Tam V'Lo Reach. He says this makes no sense. I think it makes sense. Why do you think it makes sense?
It makes sense because I kind of understood that being that like Hashem protects it. Where like if
why should he offer protection only Malchus Asuras, not Shabbos, because not Ritzicha?
Because it protects other people too.
That's the Ramban. Huh. Ramban says Akash Baruch Hu would never let a tzaddik be a bad example for others. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is protecting the community. Right? Which is an important yisoid in its own right. The Kadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that the community is keeping Yiddishkeit in the proper fashion. It can't be, that certain mistakes crept in and we're all of a sudden practicing Yiddishkeit in a way that's not supposed to be practiced. The Kadosh Baruch Hu protects Yiddishkeit, normative practice, normative Judaism, that we should be following the mitzvahs like the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. We'll get to the Ramban in a second. That's what the Rambam means in Yogim Ikrei Emunah. That Torah Mitzuya Atubi Adenu, he had turned as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu Bar Sinai. The Torah that we have today is the same Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Bar Sinai. So in the Bible class, in the intro to the Bible, I don't know, you don't have to take that anymore. But in the intro to the Bible class, they used to always ask, but is it really the case? The same Torah we have today is the same Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not true. Why not? Because the Gemara says in Kiddushin that Inhu Bekiya Bechaseris Yeseros, in the times of the Gemara, they were careful. They knew which words were supposed to be Mele and Chaser, with a Vav, without a Yud. I don't know, Bekinan. We're not careful. We don't know. which word is supposed to have a vav, which word is supposed to have a yud, if it's male, if it's chaser. That's why the Ramah says meikar adin, if a sefer Torah is missing a letter, even though it should have been possible, it's really kasha, because all of our sefer Torah are missing letters, because anan lo b'keinim b'chaseres v'yaseres. We don't know. That's why the Gemara says vav de gichon is the middle letter of the Torah. So the Gemara says, is it from the first half or the second half? Because there's 600,000 letters in the Torah. So the Gemara asks, is it from the first half or is it from the second half? So the Gemara says, well, let's just count. The Gemara says, we can't count because we're not careful anymore to know which words are supposed to be Malei or Chaser. And the Ramah quoted, that's why I say for Torah this puzzle is really kosher. So what does the Ramah mean? Yugim ikri amunu, ha-tar mitzuya 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 or guides the development of Torah, that the Torah Judaism that we are practicing today is the same Torah Judaism that HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned when he gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Even though the Yushalmi says, Kol Mashe Talmud Vasikos L'Chadesh Kfar Nizgal Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, everything every Talmud Chacham would ever originate in Torah was already revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Nonetheless, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Menachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Moshe Rabbeinu magically into the backs of the room of Rebbe Kiva Shir, and he had no idea what was going on until he heard the words Halachal Moshe Misinai V'Nisiyash V'Daito. He heard a shout out, and all of a sudden he calmed down. Of course, it wasn't a shout-out. What he heard was, they're still developing in the same way, with the same principles that I received. So to what Yushalmi means, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was already Megalot Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Mashe Talmud V'Asikosu B'Chadesh, doesn't mean every shtickle in the Birch HaShmuel, was already revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu could understand them, right? It's so difficult, even Moshe Rabbeinu could understand all the shtickles in the Birch HaShmuel. What it means is that it's functioning with the same principles. It's all in potential from what Moshe Rabbeinu got, the principles and the information. But of course, it develops further. So much so that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even understand the Shia Rebbe Kiva. No. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what it means is that the Torah we have today is the same Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding that process. And in order to do so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make sure that the tzaddikim, the leaders of the generation, don't serve as a bad example, which could then lead Judaism off the tracks. So Ramban says, what does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Einu Mevi Takoa. The Ramban says it's only when other people are watching and it can make a bad impression. And they'll get the wrong impression of the din, and then Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, the Torah, and the mitzvahs will be practiced inappropriately. That we got. Taisvis says, no, when it comes to Malchus Asuris, there's a special lever of protection that doesn't apply to other areas. So the Ramban doesn't like it because he says it makes no tam v'reach. I thought it has a good reason. Because Machalas Asuras is different than any other Avera. You know why? Because when a person eats Machalas Asuras, it becomes part of him. You didn't just do an Avera. You turned on a light on Shabbos. You did an Avera with your hands. But then I could divorce myself from it and say, you know what, that was an accident, it was this or that. And then the action no longer relates to me because I did so without thinking or... Chola Ambishkaga. However, when you eat Machalas Asuras, it's stuck inside of you. It literally becomes, chelev v'dam. It becomes part of you. So that kind of avera is more personal. It's more intrusive. It's literally inside of you. By the same token, when a person eats matzah, to a certain degree, it's a better mitzvah. You know, it's a different kind of mitzvah than shaking lulav. Shaking lulav, I'm doing externally a mitzvah with my hands. When you eat matzah, it literally becomes part of you. By the same token, when you eat machalas asuros, it's a little bit more invasive, right? It's a little bit more intrusive. It's becoming part of me. So that's perhaps why Tosis felt that when it comes... I know it's my own Sfarah. I think I heard it somewhere once, but I couldn't find it. But that's, I think, perhaps what Tosis might be driving at is that when it's Machal Sasuras, it's a little bit more invasive, a little bit more intrusive. That's why it's a little bit more embarrassing than a guy who turns on a light on Shabbos. You did an action, but then I run away from it. What? That never happened. You know, I can distance myself from it. But if it's inside of you, right, how can you distance yourself from it? It's you just ate it. It's part of you. So you can't... So that's much more invasive. That's why Tosfos felt there's a special measure of protection provided for tzaddikim, and behemoth yourself tzaddikim when it comes to my machalas asuros. All right, let's continue on in the Gemara. It's a little light, this Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says, must be... That the Raja Bezeir, that if they would have heard about that there must be they heard about it, but they didn't accept it. Isak Adaita Klo Kivla Minei. Now, what was Reb Zeir's opinion? So these Amoraim, Reb Yochanan, they didn't accept the Takana of Reb Gamliel Beis Dino. They continued to eat the Shkit of the Kusi. But what about Reb Zeir? Did Reb Zeir accept it or not?
So the Yitzhak Adai the Klo Kibla Mina, if you assume Reb Zera did not accept the Tana of Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino, Lishni Lei, maybe you could say those Tanoim, those Amaron, Kishi Yisrael, Amir Al Gabav. Must be there was a Jew standing over them, that's why the Shkita was kosher, and that's why they ate it. Kan Kishayin Yisrael, Amir Al Gabav. When was Gamliel Beis Dino Geizer, if there's no Jew standing over them? Or when is the Shkita the Kusi prohibited when there's no Jew standing over them? Must be Reb Zera was astonished by their actions, and he concluded that must be they rejected the Kanavar Megamil Beis Dino because he himself accepted it. It must be that Reb Zera accepted the Kanavar Megamil Beis Dino not to eat the Shkita of the Kusi anymore. Why? Why? Why were they guys there not to eat the Shkita of the Kusi? They converted legitimately. They were forced to do so. They were coerced by the lines, but at the end of the day, they converted. So the Gemara says, Ki hod the darash of Bavazar. Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Shadre Rameir La'asuye Chamer. Once Rameir asked to bring wine, Mibay Kusai from the house of one of the Kusin. Ashuche Ahusaba, he found an old man. Amalei Vesamta Sakin, Balu Echa, and Bal Nefesh Ata. Put your sword inside of you, meaning don't hide away, don't drink from the wine if you are Bal Nefesh. Hark from Shimon ben Elazar, Vesipa and Dvarmu Fe Rameir. Shimon ben Elazar went and he told Rameir what the old man said. Vigazar Alein. He said, don't drink from their wine anymore. My time, Amr of Nachum by Yisrael, Demus Yoina, Masulahem Barosh Hagrizim, he found some of them worshipping the image of a Yonah on top of Hagrizim, Shai Ovdimosa. Some of them were worshipping of a Dezer and Rameir, Retaime, the Chai Shlomiyuta. There were a minority of the people who were worshipping of a Dezer, but Gaza Ruba, Altomiyuta. He was guys of the entire nation of the Kusin, not even their Shkita, because there were some who went back, who reverted to worshipping of a Dezer. Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino, Namik Rameir Sfirlu. They also felt like Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino filed the opinion of Rameir that they were Chayishul Miyuta, which sounds like he was after Rameir, not before Rameir. That's the Taisis and Rashi debate. Was he before Rameir? Was he after Rameir? Was he following the position that was later explained by Rameir? Or was he following the opinion of Rameir because he was later? Either way, Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino goes there because there were Miyut who were following, went back, reverted back to worshiping Avodah Zarah. Even though they did convert legitimately at one point, they went back to worshiping their Avodah Zarah, the Demus of the Yon, on top of our greetings. They were going to not to eat from the Shkita of the Kusim anymore. But interesting ha'ar over here, the Gemara says, and therefore, Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atmo. Right? Bal Nefesh, that became a popular term in our times. Mishnah Berurah popularized it. He says, certain issue, Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atmo. Reb Shechter always talks about how people think everyone's a Bal Nefesh. Oh, Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atmo is talking to me. I always thought that was unusual. He did. He once pointed out, though, at a group, a gathering of rabbis, he said, by the way, guys, you are Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atmo. He said, you better be Machmer. No kulas for you. He says, because whatever your standard is, you can expect the community to be, you know, to be less. So you better keep a high standard, which I thought was interesting. He said, whatever the Mishnah Berurah says, Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atmo, he said, I don't think it's talking to those people, but it is talking to you. I thought that was interesting. But when do we apply this rule of Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atmo? When is this? So I think you see from this Gemara, an important aside. And Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atmo doesn't mean, or it's only, if there's legitimately a minority to be concerned about, right? There were a minority of Kusim who went back to worshipping Avodah Zarah. So it's not the majority, it's a minority. But even though it's, you know, but since there is a minority, Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atmo, and Rameir was Chai Shul Miyuta. We should be choshesh for the miyut positions, right, that hold something is prohibited. Even though we don't really accept that position, right, it's not the position of the Shulchan Aruch, you have license to do otherwise, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes, some of the Rishonim disagreed, we should be machmir, bal nefesh, yachmer al atzmo. That's, not everybody has to do that, but that's where the concept of a bal nefesh, yachmer al atzmo applies, is when there is a minority, you know, something to be concerned about. But let's say, it's not that there's a minority of positions out there who disagree. Stam chumrah against what it says. Far-fetched chashash, but it's not grounded in anything. So writes from Moshe over here in the Igros Moshe. He says, Ki bedvarm she'ein shum mokum begabarim bepoiskim harishonim, ein mokum lahachmer. Don't make up chumras that don't appear anyway. You're not being choshish for any shita, minority opinion. Right? It's a chumrah to be choshish for the minority opinions. That's where the Mishnah Berurah usually applies the rule. Machmer tovo, you know, machmer tovo abrocha, bal nefesh yachmer atzmo. There are some who distinguish between those two phrases, Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atmo, Machmer Tovo L'Avrocha. They're basically the same thing. That is, there's a minority opinion out there of a legitimate concern, not some made-up thing. Such a person is a fool if he's Machmer for that. Look over here, you have to know this. The Ramah writes in Hilchos Sukkah that a person who sits in the Sukkah
in the rain is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of sukkah. So, and he quote, continues and he quotes from the Yerushalmi, "V'chol ha'potim in ha'sukkah ve'enu yoytzim misham." Anybody who's potter from sitting in the sukkah and he doesn't leave, ain't a makabu of schar ve'ain ela hedyotis. He's a hedyot. You're a mitzvah in the sukkah, you're being machmir to sit there anyway, you're a hedyot. Kol ha'potim in ha'davar ve'oseyo, says Yerushalmi. Kol ha'potim, the Roshan is, kol ha'potim in ha'davar ve'oseyo, nikra hedyot. You're potter from something and you do it anyway, you're a hedyot. One minute, but women volunteer mitzvahs all the time, right? They're potter, they're doing it anyway, they're hedyot. When do we apply this rule? So Rav Nagoyan has a famous explanation where he says, no, if you fulfill something, woman volunteers a mitzvah, she fulfills the mitzvah, even though she wasn't obligated to do it. That is, that's something that we should aspire to. What is the nikra hedyot if you fulfill nothing? So the Vilna Gaon derived from here, according to the Rambam, the sukkah in the rain is not even a sukkah. You get nothing, garbage. It's not based on anything. There's no source for this in Gemara and Chazal and Shas and Poiskim. There's no source. It's somebody said once at some tish somewhere. Because there's an inyan. That's not a machmer tavo abracha. That's not bal nefesh yachmer atzma. That's stupidity. Stam stupid. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says. That's what Yerushalmi is talking about. Called patam in adavar vaseh or nikra hedyot is when a person is doing something, but there's no basis. So in the sukkah in the rain, the Rama held is not even a sukkah. So you're just sitting there in the rain with your hat on. What's the purpose of that? Of course, Chabad Chassidim sit outside in the rain. You know that. So they know about this Vilna Gaon. So they say the following. They say we are willing to be a hedyot for the sake of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What greater praise of a Kodesh Baruch Hu could there be that I'm willing to embarrass myself and be a hedyot for you, Hashem? Ah. I'm learning Tanya now, so I have to mention it. That's a day feel. All right. Different strokes, different folks. All right. Okay, come on.